Thank you, Jesus. Well, I was thinking about what God wanted to say by His Spirit this afternoon, and I was reading something from Esther, and two little words jumped out at me, and I couldn't let go of them. They just continued to stay with me. And so I thought, okay, God, let's do it. But we need to go into Corinthians before that. I've headed my message, The Weakest Link. Do you remember that quiz game, The Weakest Link, with Anne Robinson? Not my favourite, but she was the one that got the least marks. She just looked at them and said, "You are the weakest link. Goodbye." Well, praise God, He doesn't do that to us. Oh, amen. He's looking for the weakest link, because it's His strength that comes through when we are weak. Amen. Have any of you felt weak? Have you ever felt inadequate? Oh dear, we're all good, you're in good company. We're on a level playing field here, because it's the Spirit that does the work. The world sees weakness as feebleness, failure, frailty, powerlessness, uselessness, and inability. It's very much perceived as a disadvantage. However, nothing could be further from the truth, because God's ways are completely opposite to man's ways. God says, "I don't need your strength. I don't want your strength. I've got all the strength that you will ever need, all the power that you will ever need. Just plug in and let me work through you. Don't get in the way." Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 27, "God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the mighty." Come on, folks. Everything is possible. Why? Because God is at work. Amen. In God's kingdom, the qualification for becoming more than a conqueror is weakness. Now, if there's not two opposites there, two contradictions, but that's the absolute truth. The Apostle Paul, whose letters to the churches in Europe were of a brilliant nature. He was a brilliant scholar. And they're as relevant today and as Holy Spirit inspired today as they were 2,000 years ago. Nothing's changed. The devil has no new tricks. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He works the same. He's on our side. What more do we need? Amen. Work with me, folks. Connect with me. Plug in with me. And let's work together. Paul was a fearless adventurer. He was a passionate preacher. He was an amazing achiever and advocate for the gospel. Yet God purposely placed limitations on him. Why? So that he would know that all had been achieved by him was by God's grace alone, and not Paul's natural ability. That makes us all equal. I've just forgotten I need an NIV. Thank you, Steve, for these. They're coming very useful. Why was God protecting Paul from pride? Because pride, unchecked, would cause him to self-destruct. Ezekiel 28. Verses 12 to 19. Satan, what was his fall? He fell because of pride, and it totally destroyed him. And here we see it in Ezekiel 28 and from verse 12. Son of man, take up a lament concerning the king of Tyre and say to him, this is what the sovereign Lord says. You are the model of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone adorned you, ruby, topaz and emerald, chrysolite, onyx and jasper, sapphire, turquoise and beryl. Your settings and mountains were made of gold. On the day you were created, they were prepared. You were anointed as a guardian cherub, for so I ordained you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked among the fiery stones. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till wickedness was found in you. Through your widespread trade, you were filled with violence and you sinned. So I drove you in disgrace from the mount of God, and I expelled you, O guardian cherub, from among the fiery stones. Your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you down to the earth, and I made a spectacle of you before all kings. I think that's far enough to go on that. Satan, he was created perfect, and yet pride entered, and it was pride that caused him to self-destruct. This God was determined. He had called Paul for a purpose, and he was not going to self-destruct. And so he put limitations on Paul. And in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 10, this is what the Word of God says. God said to Paul, my grace is enough. It's all you need. My strength comes into its own in your weakness. Paul said, once I heard that, I was glad to let it happen. I quit focusing on the handicap or the problem. And I've got to say, I don't think for a minute it was physical. Because it says later down, what the handicap was. And I began appreciating the gift of his grace. It was a case of Christ's strength moving in on my weakness. Now I take limitations in my stride and with good cheer, and with good cheer. He's thinking, oh, if I'm feeling weak, wow, that's a good thing. Why? Because God's going to come in with all his power. And we've seen that this afternoon. Helen feeling weak. The power of God came in at her weakest point and surged through her body. And David and Louise, we've seen so many healed in our weakness. He is our strength. He's everything that we will ever need. And with good cheer, these limitations cut me down to size. These limitations of abuse, accidents, opposition, and bad breaks. Does it resonate, Hannah? Yeah. I just let Christ take over. And so the weaker I get, the stronger I become. Amen. When I look at what's been achieved already in this building, I realise it had to be by God's strength, because those who took on the challenge and continue to do so are 70 plus. But we've got a young recruit, amen, Martin, praise God. A youngster's come amongst us, praise his name. Yes, there were 70, or they are 70 plus. And I thank God. God, you're amazing. He will renew your strength. If God has a job for you to do, he will give you the strength and the energy and the wisdom to do it. Amen. Paul's instruction to the church in Rome and to us. Romans 12, verses 1 to 3. Romans 12, verses 1 to 3. I'm reading from the Message because it really simplifies it. Paul is saying to the church in Rome, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. And he's saying it to us as well. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Just everyday you, give yourself to God as an offering. I'm all yours, God. I'm all yours. I'm your responsibility. Here I am, wholly available. As for me, I will serve the Lord. But it's not in my own strength. It's got to be in yours, God, because I don't have the ability to do this. The Message goes on to say, embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for him. We got that. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for him. So all he wants you to do, embrace his power. Fix your attention on God. You will be changed from the inside out. And that's what we all need. This flesh man, this mind, this spirit, this heart needs changing from the inside out. And so the world will see we are like Christ. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you that's always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. And this is a really important point. It's so important not to let the world drag you into its ways and have its thinking. The world is totally negative. And when you hear yourself saying something negative, Andrew pulled me up the other night. He looked at me and said, are you blessed, Grace? And right at that point, I wasn't. I was frustrated. And I said to him, no, I'm not. And I said, I'm fed up. I want to go home and I'm bored. And he said to me, I didn't ask you that. I said, are you blessed? And I said, oh, well, yeah, I'm blessed. Exceedingly abundantly blessed because God says I am. We need to change our confession because we curse ourselves by what's just happening at the minute, just a flash in the pan. I've lost, yeah. So, a lot of people are really negative, and then they'll confess something like, well, I'll never have any money, and then when they haven't got any money, they'll say, well, I knew that was going to happen. Well, you just cursed yourself. You just took yourself out of the way of God's provision and gave the devil permission to steal from you. Don't be silly. We need to wise up and listen to what God is saying. Negativity isn't godly. It's draining. We need to renew our minds and expect what God says. No matter how impossible it looks, the circumstances are irrelevant. The only accurate way, we're spirit beings, not natural beings. And what does Paul say? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's his strength. It's all about him. It's not about us. We need to line up with him. And the Message goes on to say, God brings the best out of you. He develops well-formed maturity in you. He's looking for maturity. The immature are always running around like headless chickens, not knowing what to do and searching for answers. And God says, you're rooted and grounded in me. I need maturity, God's wisdom to be revealed. And then it goes on to say, living then as every one of you does in pure grace. It's important that you not misinterpret yourselves as people who are bringing this goodness to God. No, God brings it all to you. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and what God does for us, not what we are or what we do for him. We can bring nothing to God. God wants us to let go and let God. Stop trying to do his work for him. He's done it all. He just says, rest in me. Just plug in and follow me. Listen to me. You know, a real way to test it, anything that drains you is from the devil. The devil always takes, God always multiplies. Amen? God's a God of abundance. So if you're finding yourself being robbed of strength, finance, time, peace, whatever that is, it's time to do a check. Is this what I'm involved in, a God plan, or is it a my plan? If it's a my plan, you will be getting drained. And you will be getting robbed because you've walked straight out of God's provision there. If it's God's plan, then God said he's prepared paths for us to walk in. We know that here, All Saints Church. You know, we'd been looking, and then we stopped looking. And then God brought it to us. Wow. And he also brought those who would help us take possession. And now he's bringing people who will help us to get established. At every stage, God fulfills his promise. The devil has tried to steal from us. But we knew he couldn't steal from us. Why? It was a God plan. If it's a God plan, the devil cannot steal it from you. It's yours. And you just have to walk in it and trust God all the way. But I do tell you that on your journey, you'll find that you get so challenged that you have to know that what you're doing is a God plan. When you know it's a God plan, you don't worry. You don't think about it. You just let go of it. And you say, God, you started it. You finish it. Amen? I'm here. I'll listen to you. God uses ordinary people to bring about his purposes. And I look at Esther. She was just an ordinary person. In fact, she didn't even have parents. She was adopted. And Esther was adopted by Mordecai. She was a beautiful Jewess. And God used this girl to save absolutely thousands upon thousands of people. The background to Esther, when it starts in chapter 1, it's talking about the king and his queen, Queen Vashti. And as we all know, the king sent for her to attend one of his banquets, and Vashti refused. She said, I'm not coming, I'm doing my own thing. And so as a result, the upshot was she was banished from the kingdom. And the king decided he wanted another wife. Many, many young, beautiful girls were brought to his harem, and he saw all of them. But the one he fell in love with was Esther, this beautiful orphan who was adopted by Mordecai, her uncle. And she was chosen as queen in place of Vashti. There's also a third person in this story, the wicked Haman. He'd been promoted by the king to the highest ranking official in the government of the Medes and Persians. The Medes and Persians ruled from India to Ethiopia. That's a way, way, way distance. India to Ethiopia. Well, Haman had hatched a plan to exterminate the Jews. And to achieve it, he was so desperate, he deposited 375 tons of silver in the king's bank account. Wow, he really was desperate. And why did he do it? Because Mordecai was a Jew. And Haman hated him. Absolutely hated him. And why? Because Mordecai refused to bow down to him. Haman was full of pride. Uh-oh, what's going to happen to him? He's full of pride. And he got furious because every time he saw Mordecai, everybody fell on the knees apart from Mordecai. He stood and faced him up. And he hated him, absolutely hated him. Mordecai learned of Haman's plot and he sent a message to Esther to go to the king. Initially, Esther was reluctant to do so because she feared if the king was in a bad mood and didn't want to see her that day, he would not hold out his scepter to her and she would be beheaded. This is the end of you. But she knew she was in a God plan. God had placed her where she was. And so she said to, she sent a message initially back to, Mordecai sent a further response to her and he said, don't think that you'll escape just because you live in the king's house. If you persist in staying silent, God will use someone else to bring deliverance. And this spoke to me because it's not about being in God's house. It's not about just coming to church. It's not about coming when you've got time. It's about being always committed to the plan that God has for you. It's about being there 24/7 with the body of Christ. It's about being in his word, listening to the Holy Spirit, being doers of the word. And as Mary said, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Amen. It's a wholly available. It's a 24/7. It's a full commitment to God. And Mordecai continued. He said, maybe you were made to be queen for such a time as this. That famous saying. Maybe you were made to be queen for such a time as this. God was giving Esther the privilege of being a chosen vessel to rescue millions from death. If she refused, there was no guarantee that she would escape death. You know, we too carry the salvation message. And God is not willing that any should perish. And we too should have that same passion to rescue the perishing, no matter what the cost. Individually and corporately, it's time for God's people to speak out. You know, Steve was saying how being in the bikers, it gives him so many opportunities to share the gospel. We've said before, taking Charlie for a walk has given me so many opportunities to share the gospel. God will bring people across your path. We need to pray. God, bring those across my path who you want to hear the gospel, that I can speak to and share the goodness of God with. God said you were born for such a time as this. Not only was Esther born for a purpose and for such a time, we too were born in God's time. He gave the date of your birth. He knew the date of your birth and he brought you forth at that particular time. And in doing so, he fully equipped you to succeed in your generation. He's given you everything you need for life and godliness. It was all inbuilt in you at the time. He preordained you and he preordained the time you would appear. God never makes a mistake. He's put you in this generation because you have a message for this generation. Amen. I've got a message. I'm getting older now, but I've still got a message for the generations that God has taken me through. And I've never hidden my calling and I never will because I've got life and I want everybody else to have that life that God has given me. Esther's reply was, everyone fast and pray and I'll go to the king. If I die, I die. She was prepared to sacrifice everything to fulfill her calling. It wasn't about Esther. It was about her people. And Esther had been given the favour of God, because when she went to the king, he held out the golden sceptre to her, and which said to her, "Come in, you're welcome." And he said to her, what would you have me to do for you, Esther?" And she said, "Well, come to a feast that I've set for you, and bring Haman with you. Come to the dinner and enjoy yourselves." So the king was happy to do that. And in chapter 5 and verse 9, it says Haman left the palace that day really happy. He was beaming until he saw Mordecai. Uh-oh, God placed you in the right place at the right time. He saw Mordecai sitting at the king's gate. And what was Mordecai doing? Standing up, he was ignoring him, and he was oblivious to him. Now, isn't that lovely? And they were the words that set me on this path for the message today. The devil does not want you to ignore him. He wants your attention. When he's got your attention, he's got you. Okay? And so we need to follow Mordecai's example. He ignored him. He was oblivious to him. Haman was furious. He fit to be tied at this man who wouldn't bow down to him. You know, the devil works through our negativity. That's his power source. He has no power of his own. The only power he's got is when we're negative. Oh, now that's a real wake-up call. Don't ever speak negatively. Even if you feel it, keep your mouth shut. You're on a winner if you can keep your mouth shut. You know, what are the negatives that the devil uses? He uses fear, stress, panic, anger. There's a load of them. Frustration. Anybody get frustrated? Woo-hoo! Are we ringing some bells here? Yes. I can do this, I will do this, my strength. You know, and God's saying, let go, give it me. I can do this. That's Andrew, he must have been as a kid stomping his feet saying, I can do this. No, yes. Frustration, depression. It's no good getting down. It doesn't do anything. It just opens the door for the devil to do more, work against you even more. Intimidation, regret, resentment. Oh, can't change a thing. Unforgiveness, get over it and move on. Pride, self-importance. They're all negatives that the devil works through. Don't give him any ammunition. He hasn't got any of his own. Don't give him yours. Hit him with the word of God. And to do it, to deal with him, we've got to renew our minds and ask the Holy Spirit for his divine ability to see every obstacle as a doorway for God's strength to come surging through. He will. In your weakness, I'm your strength. Put me in charge. Put me in charge of your class, Hannah. I'll sort them out. Stand back. Watch me do it. It works. Amen. Mordecai turned the tables on Haman by ignoring him. Ignoring him totally disarms him. If you remember, Smith Wigglesworth was asleep one night and he suddenly woke up and he looked at the bottom of his bed and the devil was sat at the bottom of his bed. And he said, "Oh, it's only you, is it?" And he turned over and went back to sleep. That's what we've got to do. Just give him no acknowledgement whatsoever. You have no place in me. You have no authority in me, and I'm not giving you any. Amen. I'm going to do everything that God has told me to do. Mordecai knew that God was far greater than the problem, and he would definitely deliver him. He didn't know how, but he trusted in God's love. He rested in that love. content to let God deal with it his way, his time. And that's where we need to be, because Isaiah 30 says, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. If the devil can get you wound up and agitated, he's won. Just stop yourself there, repent, and say to God, God, I receive your strength here. I step aside and let you deal with what the devil is trying to wind me up over. Just a few thoughts here. God knows exactly how to deal with the devil, and he will never let him succeed against you if you step aside and let God do it. We have a covenant with God that's far greater than that of Mordecai. God is for us. Therefore, no one can succeed against us. When Jesus rose from the dead, the devil was totally stripped of all power. Jesus said to the church, I give you all power, all authority in my name against all the works of the evil one. I've made you more than conquerors. Isaiah 54, no weapon formed against you would prosper. Jesus said, in my name, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. Psalm 110 says, rule in the midst of your foes. We're not always going to have it easy. We're going to be challenged so many, many times. We need to know who we are and who's with us and who's for us. And the one who's against us is defeated. Psalm 103, he heals all my diseases. He forgives all my sins. He delivers me from every destruction. He renews my youth like the eagles. And John 15 said, Jesus said, I and the Father are one. You in me and I in him. Our lives are hidden with Christ in God. Wow. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. The devil can't get you. Only if you come out shouting, ooh, I'm here. Aren't we silly sometimes? We walk straight into his trap. The end of the story of Esther is just a catalogue of disasters for Haman. God thoroughly humiliated him. And if you want a really good laugh, if you really want to be cheered up, read the last few chapters of Esther. God made an absolute mockery of him. He wiped the floor with Haman. He exposed him and humiliated him beyond measure. He really did a good job on him. And he'll do the same for you if you'll step out of the way and let God do it. He will do a magnificent job of wiping the devil out and of getting rid of him off your case. Amen. Don't try and fight the devil in your strength. You'll lose, I tell you now. Step aside. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. When we are weak, then we are strong, because Christ's strength comes through. Haman fell into his own trap. And the gallows that he'd made for Mordecai, he intended to hang Mordecai on the high on these gallows. The king said, hang him, hang Haman on his own gallows. Wow. The devil falls into his own trap, I promise you. Just, I can't tell you how many times God has said to me, step aside, Grace. Watch me work. And every time, the devil has been wiped out like snuff. And I thought, whew, I wish I'd have done that earlier. instead of getting my boxing gloves on and trying to get in the ring with the devil, you won't win. Just step aside and let God get in, and he'll absolutely wring his neck and send him out. God's the master strategist. It's his way, his time. His time, note that. As for God, his way is perfect. Psalm 18 and verse 30. And I love this in the message. In Psalm 40, David says this, I waited patiently for the Lord. Well, in the message it says, I waited patiently. I waited, and I waited, and I waited. And finally, he looked at me. And then he answered my cry. He delivered me. From the waters that I was drowning in, he reached down and dragged me out. You know, sometimes it seems like that, doesn't it? God, when are you going to hear me? Don't you know it's desperate? And God says, don't panic. Just wait. Wait, I don't want to hear. Wait, God. Wait, wait, wait. Please wait. God's in eternity. He's not in time. He never panics. He rules always. Let's rule with him in the midst of our foes. Amen. He's not going to take you out of it. He's going to take you through it. And he's going to show you who's the one to win. Amen. You step back and let me do it. Amen. Praise God.